recorder. And there are, and I do upload the old shows to our website, which is another story. The website's old and it's kind of, it's cool. It's vintage, but there's a story there I won't get into. But you can listen to previously recorded radio shows on the website, and you just go on the homepage, coinsplus.com. Scroll down the page to the right a little bit, and it'll say radio show. Open it up, and you can pick out different shows to look at. And so, anyway, when I was in banking, and I started to just get awakened, and I just had had it with corporate America anyway. It's very grueling. I have a relative who just took a management position with a large bureaucratic organization that serves, you know, some insurance aspects of our government, forced insurance like the Medicare, Medicaid stuff, and just about broke her because the bureaucracy is brutal. And it's really there's always a well, at least when I was in it, there's a performance based facet, and but then there's also the facet of job security that can become extreme, where people's performance in a lot of positions is irrelevant. They basically get to keep their job no matter what. And then when I was, you know, working my way up, there's this peer issue where you'll get people that are all at the same level on paper, but then it's just like the problem with unions or government jobs, that if you have an overachiever or somebody who really cares and really wants to make a difference, they often get shut down or harassed and whatever. And a lot of people will abuse that position. It's kind of interesting. It's just a system that is not conducive to personal growth in a lot of ways. There's a lot of corporate entities now that thrive on this. It's a progressive mindset, and what they really want is just agreement. And so they'll be all rah-rah, you know, hip hooray. And they want you to get along. They want you to go along and follow all their leads. But it blows my mind because I'm self-employed, obviously. I own my own business. And I could work 28 hours a day and never catch up. A lot of that has to do with personnel issues and all that. But, you know, I know people that are like a guy I know that retired here recently from a government job, and he said he's busier now than he's ever been. I mean, he literally on our dime, he just sat. He said during COVID for like months, he just sat in an office with a mask on, and any inter-office communication had to take place over Zoom because of the COVID stuff. So they're sitting, they were required to wear masks in their office by themselves, and then they, or even the people that were at lower levels in cubicles, and any communication had to take place electronically. I mean, it's just madness and insanity. And he said he had absolutely nothing to do, and they told him they could do whatever they want. So he had to fill his time with, you know, mundane activities, surfing the web, this kind of stuff. And that's our taxpayer dollars at doing its finest. Along those lines, folks, you talk about government waste. You know, you get one of the most insane things I've heard regarding economics was when Joseph Biden, by the way, that's the president of the left-wing United States, made the claim that we could stop inflation with more spending. Now, there are very few real mathematical economists that you could find that would ever make a statement like that, because mathematically, it's absolutely obviously false. The definition of inflation is simple. It is an increase in the money supply. And I was speaking a while ago with a liberal who was an extremely high-ranking individual with a global bank. And we were talking, and I was trying to make a point, just talking. And I said that. I said, well, the fundamental definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. And he's like, oh, no, 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 no. It's way more complicated than that. Well, he knows better. But this is what Janet Yellen came out with a while ago. She was the, director of the Federal Reserve. And, I mean, these people, if you listen to her talk, they're just political minions. And that is not true. So what they do is they say, it's too complicated for you to understand. Just like Pete Buttigieg stating that, the accomplishments of Biden are so extensive, it'd be impossible to try to even list them all, so he won't even try. And they make this comment, you know, Biden, that spending more money will help inflation. Well, how'd that work out for y'all? Now they're jacking interest rates through the roof. Spending more money is spending your money on your credit card, which you don't even know about and you don't care about and you have no control over. This is no longer for the people, by the people, of the people. Mitch McConnell is, you know, I mean, we have so many shills in there now that they're rhinos, Republicans in name only. They get into this lifestyle where, you know, they get into the position, they acclimate, they go up there with all these great ideas and great hopes and great dreams, and then they start to mingle, and then they start to become, you know, hot dogs and hot shots, and they start to get schmoozed, bribed, bought out by the other side or both sides, and, you know, they're at these fantastic dinners and these incredible galas and phenomenal homes and penthouse suites and driving, you know, having drivers drive them around in great big, you know, decked out black Suburbans, and they just get way too self-centered and they give in. The few that I know of that have held their line, you know, they get ostracized big time. But the problem is we get all these sellouts, which is one of the arguments for term limits. And I can see both sides, because when you have someone who's established their position, they do have some authority, but the corruption is apparently insurmountable. What's worse is this, you know, fake speak or whatever. Someone like Biden can say something completely moronic, absolutely false, pure idiocy, lies. And yet then the way the news media and the political arena play it is then they have to talk about the words as if they're real and meaningful and intentional. And then, you know, because they have to sit there and argue and spin and have a story rather than just disregarding fallacy. You know, you go to the book of Proverbs, it tells you, you know, ignore a liar. Walk away. Don't even repeat what he said. And yet this is what's happening to our entire political arena. So Biden comes out with that inflation statement, which, you know, now, folks, we're in a level of spending that is so far, just so grossly, grandiosely beyond anything comprehensible. It is just pure financial suicide for this nation and for you. You need to understand that each and every citizen of this nation owes more in debt through your government, more than $1 million per person, man, woman, and child. Now, you know, and then you look at your personal finances. You may or may not have debt. You may have a mortgage, whatever. But think of that. They are strapping us with trillions, which, again, what does that even mean? Those are numbers we can't comprehend. And I don't know how to get people to comprehend it, because, you know, I have a master's of science in applied mathematics and statistics, and all I know is it's a huge number. It's pretty much not quantifiable, and I can't even comprehend it. And as I've mentioned, the reason they always left phone numbers at seven digits is because that's about what the mind can handle. So once we get to these levels and we're pumping this stuff out, I mean, we've given over $120 billion to Ukraine so far. For what? I mean, honestly, for what? You know, and there's people that are pro-Ukraine and anti-Ukraine because Russia's bad, and you got to have a political split on every side of everything all the time. But for what? Why would we do that? You know, and then if you look at the bigger picture, Ukraine has been a hotbed resource for extreme diversion of money in the form of bribes and payoffs. And don't think that these politicians aren't engaged just because you don't see it go straight into their bank account. However, with Joseph Biden and his son Hunter, they've technically admitted this. And on his laptop, it lays it all out. And still, the media doesn't care. The media doesn't want to know. They don't want to know the truth. They just want to support their political candidate, which is absolutely terrifying. This is the problem with the two-party system. And the two-party system has become embedded now at such a depth that there's no breaking it. There is no third-party candidate. I've heard people go, well, Trump needs to run on a third party. Well, how does that make any sense? You know, you'd have to have over a third of the votes, I guess. Well, you'd have to have, that's not even true. You'd have to have the most of three. You know, you could have one candidate get, what would it be? I mean, the worst case, the most, you know, extreme would be one candidate gets 49 or one gets 48, one gets 1%, and then the third candidate would have to get 51. But even if one candidate got 37%, you know, and another candidate got 33%, the other one would have 30, it ends up being a total disaster. And that's a fault of where we've ended up. If you really get into the Federalist Papers, where they were trying to discuss a lot of this stuff, they opened up these debates, but they really came to fruition once President George Washington got into office. And when, during his departure speech, he was really distraught about this, and that is what he chose to highlight primarily in his departure speech. Jefferson, Madison, all of them. Already starting to really lose faith and to gain fear of loss. You know, that's where Madison was, this Constitution requires a religious and moral people. He started to see what happens with people when they have freedom. People will fight and fight and fight for their freedom. And once they get it, they become lethargic and entitled. They forget. And that doesn't apply to all of them, but it applies to enough of them that it's a grand concern. If you think about all this garbage going on with, you know, transgender and gender period, and then transgender and racism, and, you know, we started with affirmative action in the 90s, which I didn't like because it said that you had to give special benefits and special favors to people of certain minorities. Okay, that's not equal justice under the law. That's not all men are created equal. I had a guy say to me the other day, talking about the statistics of black-on-black crime. And he was saying, well, maybe there's a component of you know, economic status or, you know, whatever there. And I'm like, well, yes, there is for sure. But there's a lot of people that start in the gutter in one way or the other. I can claim that to a degree. And, I mean, the American gutter is a lot different. But there's a lot of people that start out there and work their way up. I'm not going to tell you that that they're not afflicted. I will tell you the 1619 Project is a dead lie. But I can also tell you that our government created, so basically you have the emancipation, and then you did have, you know, the ongoing racist spirit, and I've seen it, and people now in general don't say what they used to say, which was horrible. When I was young, I was in a situation with a white guy and a black guy. And the white guy just kept saying the N-word to the black guy like buddies, but really condescending. And I made a couple comments for him to quit. And he wouldn't, and he was kind of a thug, and he just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And the black guy wouldn't say much, but it was totally eating him up. So I got involved, and obviously I ended up in a physical altercation over it because it was so disgusting and disrespectful and hideous. But I grew up in Great Falls, Montana, where we had just a minute fraction of the population was black. Most of the blacks in my area were from the Air Force Base, which was nearby Malmstrom Air Force Base. We did have Native Americans and whatnot, but the thing is it just, you know, it was gross when it was happening. I couldn't stand it, and I stood up and did something about it. But most people don't, and it is gross, and I hate that filthy, vile racism. And real racism, folks, is this, it's a septicis or a sepsis of your spirit. It's just a hatred. It's a despising of humans for whatever, and it's just a displacement of a mental disorder. And you'll run into people that are filled with that much hate for a lot of people. But it you know, so anyway, I'll just say it's awful, it's egregious, it's wrong, it's disgusting. We're all God's children. You know, but throughout history, there's just a weird track record of how things work out. But our government, when they started Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all that under FDR, basically, you know, the blacks were just trying to get on their feet. And in a lot of cases, they were being accepted, but there's always racism out there. The real fault is that the whites that didn't believe that oftentimes are cowards. They won't stand up. They won't put their neck on the line. And I'll tell you something, folks. The most powerful thing you can ever do is to be the innocent bystander, uninvolved, and diplomatically stick your nose in. That doesn't mean like this stuff that's starting to happen on airlines where someone will have a debate with a stewardess. The stewardess or steward starts screaming and yelling and throwing a temper tantrum because it's a form of public intimidation. And then people on the plane that don't know what's going on start yelling at them, but they don't know what's going on. I'm not saying to do that, but I'm saying as an innocent bystander, it has to do with authority, spiritual authority. And when you step in there, you have no skin in the game, and the offender, the oppressor will tell you that you have nothing to do with this, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, when it's very, very common, in fact, almost always, when someone is abusive, verbally, physically, emotionally, they always want you to think it's just you. It's just you. But that is the person's character. You'll run into different narcissism where people will isolate themselves from their entire environment because they can't operate in a healthy manner with other people. But whether it's business or anything, family or whatever, if somebody behaves a certain way, that right there is a snapshot of their character. And it isn't just you, it's just them. And so again, I'll just say, if you see abuses take place that are totally inappropriate, stand up. Don't be afraid. Be brave. Be diplomatic. Be kind. I mean, firm, but respectful. You know, you really don't see accounts of Jesus filled with hate other than what? The Pharisees. He hated that self-righteous arrogance, pomposity. That disgusted him. But even in discussing things with people from all gamuts, he wasn't hateful and angry. He was loving and matter-of-fact. He was very logical. He used common sense a lot, although his wisdom was God's wisdom, and man, did he let it hang out, you know. But he spoke in a way that there was no personal offense. At least there could be personal offense, but it wasn't really personal offense. You would be offended with the Word of God. It's kind of like I've had conversations with people where I'll say, well, the Bible says this. And they'll start arguing with you about it, and it doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says. And that's why it says the Bible, Scripture will not come back to you void, and the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce through bones and marrow, you know, and then I can't remember it, but I'll find it. Here, I'll remember it here in a bit because I was trying to type. But it also tells us what's interesting about Jesus. I mean, if you know what Jesus looked like, you're the only one. If you go through the Bible, there's no physical description of his appearance. And I actually think that is for a very good reason. Okay, it says, I think Isaiah 53, 1 or 2, for he grew up before him like a young plant. Let's see, that's not it. Okay, it says, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Think of that. Scripture tells us, Christ didn't have a form or majesty that we should look at him. Him. It doesn't mean that we had to look away. It means we wouldn't look at him as a person. And no beauty that we should desire him. He was as plain as day. I believe the Shroud of Turin is the cloth that the Bible tells us he folded up when he was resurrected. And that has passed on, and there's all these, you know, different arguments. Don't buy into the lies. They say, oh, they clipped off a part of the corner, and it was too new. And yeah, that's because it was repaired by the Catholic Church in the 1500s, and that's why they clipped there, and et cetera. But people who study the entire, what I almost called it a document, item itself, when the you know, 99.9% of it is the right age and the right parchment and everything. And the experts who've studied it say the only way the impression could have been made is through an act of irradiation, which would be the same act that created the universe. And it imposed his image on this textile cloth in a magnificent way. It shows all of his wounds. It shows the, you know, everything, all the blood spots from the crown of thorns, the holes in his wrists, everything. And in order to be made, it had to be lifted up. They say he would have been elevated a couple feet off of whatever the rock bed he was laid on in the tomb. And then, whoom, the power of the universe came back into him, and here he is. Now he's transformed. He's no longer a man. He was on Earth. He was man and God. Once he was resurrected, he was God in the form of man. And he, because even Thomas, doubting Thomas, said, how do I know it's you? And he said, touch me, or touch the wounds in my wrist. Folks, think of this. Thomas didn't even recognize him, partly because of the transformation, but partly because Jesus was somehow made in a way that he just didn't capture your mind for his beauty. And it makes sense to me, because if God would have made Jesus a Viking, if he would have been a 6'7", you know, 400-pound world's strongest man and good-looking like, an angel, well, then everyone would go, well, duh. But no, God made him almost invisible. And I will say this. My wife and I had an event one time where I saw angels. And that's exactly what they look like. It was weird. So when we lived in Helena, Montana, and it was a tough time. We were dirt poor, and I was assistant manager for the bank. Of course, you know, wife's got the rheumatoid. We're living in a real low-end double-wide trailer out in the middle of the Helena Valley, just a dump. It was such a junker. It had baseboard heat we couldn't really afford, and it had a fireplace made out of just a homemade huge wood-burning stove that was literally like 5 feet wide, 4 feet deep, thick steel, just a huge hunk with a round pipe going up out of the double wide. And you'd pack that thing and you'd light it up, and it would make the double wide so hot you'd have to run out the door. And then when it ran out, you'd freeze. And this is in the middle of winter. And it was such a junky place that we would get snow drifts coming under the door. It just, you know, it was that time of our life. And we had a puppy, a golden retriever named Sandy. And outside of our house where we lived out in the valley, there was this little irrigation canal. And long story short, Sandy at about 6 months had jumped in and somehow tried to swim upstream, got inside of the culvert under the road, and wouldn't just turn around and float back. And she apparently sat there and fought with the current until she drowned. So my wife called me at work, and it was near the end of the day. And I said, okay, I'll be right out. And of course, I had a boss who was like a clone of Napoleon Dynamite's brother. And that's the truth. And, you know, he didn't want to let me go, and it was all that. So I had to wait, you know, till the end of the day, right? So I get home, and I had this old Toyota Land Cruiser FJ55. I used to rebuild them in college a little bit and do 350 conversions. And then when I got to Helena, I had a guy put a motor in it, and it blew up. And, it was just, I got took advantage of and all that. That's how I learned a lot about life, folks. So, some people say, man, you've had some bad luck. And I'm saying, no, I have good luck. Because I've been on this awesome journey where God has helped me experience a lot of things. He's used me as a catalyst for change in a lot of environments, but he's also taught me a lot of wisdom. So it got converted. The engine went bad like within a day, and then I had to jerry rig it, and the radiator didn't work right, and it would eat up all the fluid and all this stuff. So I get home, we get the puppy wrapped in a blanket, put it in the back of our rig, this old beater, and we head up into the mountains up in Rimini Valley. And it's old mining area, just solid rock everywhere. And why I went there, I don't know. There was really nowhere around Helena. It's all rock up in the mountains. And so we're heading up this just pure rock road. Why? Because we're looking for a place to bury our dog. And it's nothing but hard rock. And we drive up there once in a while for something to do. And I had headed all the way up this one road, and I got to this huge rock slide across the road. Just that's it. There's a cliff on the right and a cliff on the left and a massive bouldered out rock slide. So I do my fancy back down the hill, turn around, and then as I'm kind of heading back down the hill, here we go. The radiator starts overheating, steam's coming out. It's actually already getting dark, and we stop. And we're stuck out in the middle of nowhere, and I need water for the radiator at best, and you know, the electrical system's weak. You get the whole picture. So we're sitting there, and we pray. And we pray for whatever. So as I don't remember what I was doing, but all of a sudden, coming down the road from the exact direction where the landslide was, and there was no crossroads, comes this, like, Subaru station wagon. And they pull up, and they said, hey, do you need anything? Or I don't know. They didn't even ask much. They just said, is there anything we can do for you? And I told them. I said, well, I told them the situation, and I needed water for the radiator, 2 gallons, and that it was dark, and we were trying to find a place to bury the dog. Well, this gal-ish, maybe guy, like, looked like Jesus on the Shroud of Turin, kind of a longer face, just very basic, not memorable at all. And there was apparently someone else in the passenger seat, which I, again, don't recall the looks, even immediately afterwards. And they get out, and they reach in the back seat right on the floor and pull out 2 gallon jugs of water and hand them to me. And then I needed also, like, WD-40. They handed me WD-40 and then said, they told me where there was a pet cemetery up there from a long time ago. And they explained to go down the hill and go here and go there and turn left here and do this and do that, and that there's an old pet cemetery there. And then they drove off. And I'm like, what? So I filled up my radiator, and I think my car was still pointing the wrong direction. I hadn't turned around. I just backed out. It was quite a back out, probably a mile. It was so tight. And I drove back up to see what in the heck I missed. I thought, well, there must be a side road. There were no side roads. None. And so I came back down somehow, and we went back down the hill around exactly where they said, and there it was. There's this pet cemetery. You can see the old little crosses and little things. It's about the only soft soil in the whole valley. Late at night, dark, so we dig a hole and bury our dog and head back home. You know, and so in my mind, there's no question that that was an angelic influence. And what reminded me of it was the fact that they look so nondescript. And the weird thing about it was, there was a pastor that we went to this weird church at the time that, you know, denied it, but I won't get into that. So basically, let's get ourselves going here and see what we got for notes. It's Lenten season in the Catholic Church. There's a prayer app that's apparently beating out Facebook and TikTok on Apple's App Store. It's called Hallow. But then, of course, it comes out that one of the top 3 owners is a board member of Facebook. So it was interesting when I was writing it till I found that. Kind of along these, just kind of moving through Disney. I was reading today, folks. Disney has always been somewhat of America's moral thermometer. Okay, they always produce nice, fun, clean stuff. It's just like, you could always let your kids get up on Saturday and watch cartoons. You never had to worry. They were fun. They were easy. The only thing you had to worry about was the ads. Not that they were immoral, but you'd get up and your kids would be going, I want crispy Cocoa Puffs, or Dad, there's this new Hot Wheels thing, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's about it. But overall, it was innocent and fun and brilliant and awesome and creative, right? Well, then, if you've watched lately, they've lost it. They've filled their whole staff with these transgender and woke left-wing stuff. So Governor DeSantis in Florida took away the autonomy, the sovereignty, I guess, if you will, of having their own governed space in Florida. Their own city, it's called like Reed's Point right outside of Orlando, and they've always been able to make their own laws, rules, regs. They pay no sales tax or no income tax. They could charge their own sales tax, keep it all. They had massive authority. So, but now what's happened is they've gone full woke, full anti-family, offending people. During COVID, they fired and harassed every employee who did not want to get vaccinated or wear a mask. They fired every employee who complained about their transgender education. They got to the point, folks, where they have these parades every night, and it became a gay pride parade in Disney World. Absolutely disgusting and a shame. And they're pumping this stuff on the kids. They've shifted from this once family-friendly content, you know, nuclear family, nice dad, nice mom, just as a standardized view in our country, they've shifted it to this family-friendly content that, you know, represented America, made us proud, and they've shifted to the stuff that families object to. Two gay parents. They've had, there's so much stuff in their cartoons now, it's just gotten awful, and their movies. The executives came out against that Governor DeSantis's parental rights in education law, which basically just said, hey, I don't want you discussing all this gross homosexual stuff with kids in elementary school. So the left called it the Don't Say Gay Bill, which is a total lie. It didn't say that anywhere in it. And it was to try to combat the rising wokeness in our public schools and taking sexuality education out of the parents' hands. So they objected to that. So DeSantis, you know, he stopped that. Praise God. So, and Disney has embraced all this woke stuff, and they've made things like, or emphasize whatever things like sex, gender, race, and really bad things. Sexuality, in other words, activities that I don't need to get into right here. This is Disney. They've made it the core mission of their storytelling. And they, as one quote I found here, a guy who worked there and got let go over the COVID stuff said, you know, we've gone from Cinderella and Snow White and Pocahontas and all these great stories with morals and great characters, and they've brought us stuff like, quote, Little Demon, unquote, who was the spawn, the child of Satan as the lead character. So, at least in Florida, he's taking a stand. And I mentioned $120 billion already been given to Ukraine. That's so much money, folks, and it's just a mess. And as you know, we've got our hands completely full. And I've been kind of going through some of the, you know, the stuff about America that's going down. I've had a few different parts, and I'd like to kind of continue here with some notes that I had from a few days ago. So I'll just start kind of right here, which is kind of redundant, but why not? So here we go in the time. So we're currently facing a complete and total informational takeover of our nation. The real disinformation comes from all of our web browsing and social media companies. Schools are capturing and corrupting the minds of our children. COVID removed work ethic and unity from businesses and school systems. I just talked to a guy yesterday who had a great big IT company that folded, and now he works at a store barely making minimum wage as a salesman. COVID created poor work ethic. They created division over the vaccination lies, which have been disproven 100 times over. Distrust over the masking stuff. Viewing your neighbor as your threat, very communistic stuff. It created a lack of empathy towards a fellow citizen. You look at the way people treated each other during COVID. I wasn't into the masks, and man, people would lose it. It was crazy. The masks actually ruined our children's development, and they prevented normal, healthy interactions among adults. They have what's called COVIDism in the children now, where they didn't learn. They lost time. They lost a couple years between the ages of 0 and 6 for development. Makes it easier for the government to control them. The fake pandemic created dependency upon the government and our social media for information. We've seen so much disgusting influence and collusion and corroboration with the government and these companies. I mean, it's a takeover. It's the kind of thing that requires a violent revolution almost, you know. It's got to be something. January 6th was forced to be violent. There's so much evidence that they planted all these undercover federal agents that pushed it, prompted it, created it. You know, we're just being had in a worse than Chinese way. It's very troubling. The COVID thing tore down the middle class America, small business, and it, despite their ignorance to what was occurring, it literally dismantled the middle class lifestyle in countless ways, brought 90% of small businesses to an end. And small business, of course, is S corporations, 90% of small businesses are politically conservative. So, you know, what right did our government or any, what would any government have to choose what was and was not an essential business? Is that not a joke? Alcohol stores, pot stores, you know, all these things, and anything, you know, reasonable was out. Our medical system went from 1/6 to 1/5 of the GDP. And you might say, well, you know, that's not that big of a deal. Well, 1/5 of 70 trillion is what, 14 trillion, and 1/6 would be about 11 trillion. So it increased the medical system by $4 trillion a year. That's a lot, but again, it's just a number, right? So how many Americans get their information, or should I say, I guess, propaganda, their disinformation from the corrupt disinformation of the cancel culture? Think of all these things, folks, cancel culture. Social, you know, the cancel culture, social media world. If you look at the leaders of these social media companies, they look like, they look demon-possessed in a lot of cases. I'm pretty sure, as I said a few shows ago, the devil would be the CSO, the chief spiritual officer of these companies. It's pretty obvious that as the devil chooses where to place his influence and where to place or send his most powerful entities for influential actions, these social media companies and online development companies would be the locations that he would choose. You know, the Bible says the devil prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour, and that is the truth. And he wants to devour the entire populace. He plants these spirits in the non-believers and just has them wait until he needs them to yell at people or do whatever. In addition, we see mass mayhem and chaos, radically entitled, spoiled, rotten brat rebellions, which George Soros is funding. And then Obama's heading up this OFA, Organized for Action, under George Soros, under George Soros's Media Matters organization. He is overseen as him. He's overseen himself. Obama is overseeing this stuff as a self-professed community organizer prior to becoming president. And his historic behavior shows that he is a specialist in the absolute tearing down of the moral fabric of our society. He destroys unity, creates, you hear this term, tribalism. Tribalism's division. You're black, I'm white, you're Russian, I'm American, you're this, you're that. That's what he specializes in. He uses, you know, Black Lives Matter, and I've mentioned, you know, Antifa, all this stuff, the Chop Chaz stuff out in Seattle, every time, burning stuff down in Portland. You know, we saw all this, the George Floyd, they didn't care. They just wanted to raise havoc. Anti-police stuff, which just creates a nightmare. You can't get police to take care of you. And then they go out and they can break into stores, shatter stuff, steal stuff. Doesn't matter now. Cops back down. But don't speed. The federal false flags continue. Like the, I said, the phony January 6th event. And if you look into that thing, that was a setup and a half. So most of the major events in the history of the U.S. have been generated by constructed false flags. All of our major wars, civil war, you know, all kinds of disobedience, the pandemics, the fears. They use skewed information, false information. They've used it for stolen elections, you know, the pandemic. I mean, they won't quit. The cancel culture is one of the greatest deceptions in the history of our world. The destruction of the greatest country to ever occupy this planet, which, by the way, if you're wondering, is us. It's been orchestrated through the bribery of corrupt, godless leaders and politicians. And that's the important thing you understand, folks. It is absolute godlessness. You know, all this stuff with the vaccines and the COVID and the lies and the, you know, in addition, the United Nations is one of the biggest farces ever fed to this nation. It's designed to strip away our power and level the playing field. 85% of United Nations member nations are either Muslim or Muslim sympathetic. Now, that's kind of left the news, but folks, that's an underlying component that's coming back, and be ready for it. It's going to be part of this move towards the mark of the beast. We had, you know, I talked to that guy I told you did IT. He could take technical internet anywhere in the world, anywhere, Indonesia, Malaysia, in the jungles, anything. There's in Revelation 14, there's the first three angels. The first, make sure that all nations can hear the word of God. The second is the collapse of Mystery Babylon. Very, very debatably, the World Trade Centers. Then the third is the pandemic, and then the Mark of the Beast, or the Mark of the Beast via pandemics. So the United Nations gives every nation an equal vote, despite the fact that we've remained the superpower for a considerable amount of time. So what country do you suppose would be the motivation for this kind of activity? Sadly, us. Additionally, Biden's now actively turning over our complete control of the next pandemic, which China's planning, to the World Health Organization. We're transferring all of our power to foreign organizations. It's an absolute act of extreme treason, and we're doing nothing to prevent it. The media is a propaganda arm of this new communist regime, which has infiltrated our nation. The only true answer is God and the Bible. And I hope you know that. Now, God gave us common sense and logic. Use it. That wisdom comes from God, His Word, etc. But you are God's creation. You have the laws of God are written on your heart. Man uses intimidation and fear and all kinds of deception and fallacies to make you question that. Starting with evolution. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nope. In the beginning, a big accident happened. Boom. And after that, trillions and trillions and trillions of accidents happened. And that's how we got here. And that makes a lot of sense, right? And they kept getting better. Better accidents. The accidents got smart and got better. So the only answer is God and the Bible and your common sense and logic. And then I've discussed central bank digital currencies are coming on fast. A lot of countries I've mentioned, Japan, China, Iran, Russia, and others have already implemented this, and it is fully underway. There's people that listen and go, yeah, here we go again, nah. You better prepare yourself financially, folks. That's our gig. The federal government's actively tracking unvaccinated for future travel passports. They have codes on each and every one of us that tracks our vaccination status or unvaccinated. Not only that, it tracks why you are or are not vaccinated. So if you are a dissenter, they've got all that recorded, and they're required to do that now. And they've admitted that in full. So I think, all this stuff, folks, I think all this stuff you need to be very, very, very aware of. And here's the thing. They don't, they'll say, oh, we're not going to track. They admit tracking, but they say, the government won't restrict your travel, but the airlines will. They'll say the government won't restrict your travel, but other nations will. Then they tell you the government tells you it won't restrict your travel, but auto rental companies will. Public transportation is going to be affected. And private companies are allowed to do this. You will be frozen without the mark. I mean, we've got these tracking codes. I'm looking at them here. They're violating your medical privacy rights to do all this. They're tracking the reasons why you didn't get the jab. Every missed vaccination is being tracked. Yeah, we need to act now. And then they're talking about billing you for immunization safety counseling and making you pay for your threat to society. They have codes identifying whether you decline the COVID jab or any other vaccine, and for each vaccine refusal, there's a code detailing why you declined it. Belief or group pressure is one of those. And you can bet that code will automatically qualify you for immunization safety counseling, whether you want it or not. That's a re-education camp, folks. And on we go. We need to deal with our congressional representatives. And I'm out of time again. So basically, here we are again. I'll make it simple. Financially, be prepared to move. There's only one thing, God's money. 509-444-0044, Coins Plus, will help you secure your wealth the way God wants you to have it. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless, and have a great night. Bye-bye.